Hello and welcome to yet another edition of Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and of course on demand anytime at federalnewsradio.com, keyword Ready to Prime. My name is Alan Scott. It's a new year, however, some of our challenges remain the same. So I thought I'd take a moment to revisit some of the advice we've received from a couple of people we spoke to over the past year. First off, Sharon Jones, Director of Small Business Programs at DISA. Now, she passed along some pretty good advice for small businesses attempting to work with her agency. Here I ask Sharon about past performance and how she says it's not a priority when working with DISA, as long as you're technically able.
Correct. That is a very, very true statement. It really does come down to technical capabilities. Whether you've proven yourself in the commercial market, whether you've proven yourself in other federal agencies, if you have the skill set and the talents that we're looking for, and you support DISA's mission, because that part is very important to be able to support our mission efforts, then you can easily find opportunities that fit into your company's portfolio. A couple of tips that I always like to give to small businesses is as you're looking and determining whether off of FedBizOps, as you're reading our solicitations, or you're looking on FedBizOps for our sources sought, that basically make sure that whatever it is that you do is consistent with what we are doing. And so that means basically having the appropriate security or facility clearances. And keep in mind, procurements wait for no man or woman, and don't expect to win or keep a contract if the requirement is for a clearance on the day of the award and you don't have one yet.
I can see that as an issue.
Right. But here's one that is really, I think, is kind of simple. And you would think that most companies would know this, but they really don't for some reason. And that is constantly review your proposals for grammatical errors. You know, have different people from diverse backgrounds read your technical proposal for clarity, comprehension, and consistency and conciseness. It's important to submit a proposal that's completely free of errors and it's readable. And it's amazing how most companies don't take the time to make sure that their proposals are readable.
Are those, you know, you've got the high school teacher who says, you know, you spelled it wrong or you used it incorrectly or whatever. Do you toss those aside? I'm just going to throw it out there.
No, actually, we're not going to toss it aside. But what we are going to look for is to ensure that your technical proposal is in compliant with our instructions.
Okay.
So it's very important for companies maybe to include a matrix to link the instructions to the offer, the evaluation criteria, and your proposal response. Even if your RFP doesn't ask for it, it really does ensure 100% compliance with the instructions. Because, you know, sometimes it's the little things that can trip up a proposal.
And I'm going to go off on a side note here. I like that. And I heard from someone, there is a class that is taught, and I think you have to take this class before you're allowed to do contracting. This is the way it was presented to me. I'm not 100% sure. You're looking at me with two heads. It's okay. Yeah. Is there a course that BD people need to take with DISA before they can begin contracting here?
No, actually, I think that was definitely misrepresented.
Okay, perfect. Please set me straight because I'm going to be up front. Columbia Technology Partners does not work at DISA yet, but it's something that I want to talk to you about.
Okay. You know. All right. So, most small business offices within the federal government have limited resources. For the yeoman's job that we do, we just don't have a lot of the support that's really needed to really fulfill every small business dreams. Okay? So my office is pretty small, so it's a lot easier for me to have what I call a monthly orientation session. I discuss DISA's mission, DISA's endeavors, things that the small business should know on how to do business, legislation that's going on in the federal marketplace, things that companies that may not have time to do on their own. But overall, it's just an orientation session.
Okay.
For companies, for anyone who is interested in doing business at DISA. So it's not limited to BD. It's open to the presence or anyone else in the company. And it's not a requirement. DISA is pretty much has an open door policy. So a small business that is interested in meeting with one of our senior leaders and they have a room on their calendar, that's fine. This is really for companies who just want to have a meeting with me, and be perfectly honest, there are more companies who want to meet with me than I actually have the time to give to them. And also, there's great synergy in these meetings when they're held, and it's also a wonderful networking opportunity because these companies now have met 30 some odd other companies who are interested in doing business at DISA. Mm-hmm. So everyone walks out with business cards, everyone walks out with a point of contact, and everyone walks out with a significant understanding of what DISA's mission endeavors are about, as well as some ongoing endeavors within the small business programs itself.
How often, you said they're monthly.
Monthly.
Where can people find out information about these meetings? Because this is big.
All they have to do is just call our office, and it's just that simple. 301-225-6003.
The reason I brought that up is you had mentioned instructions, the ability to follow instructions. Mm-hmm. And instructions are given to people who attend these meetings, what to wear, possibly, what to bring with them. Is this true? You're laughing.
Actually, it is.
Okay.
One of the things, following instructions is critical. And my instructions are really just the fundamentals, you know, because
sure.
You can follow my instructions that I have outlined, no different than the instructions I'm pretty sure Ms. Mahoney gave to you in terms
Absolutely.
Of how to get on base here.
Absolutely.
So my instructions are no cell phones. So we have all the security procedures everyone has to follow.
Mm-hmm.
It's also about bringing enough business cards because there is a business card exchange, as I mentioned earlier. It's also about where to park when they're here on DISA's campus because you just can't park anywhere.
Sure.
So we provide parking instructions. We let people know that their car will be towed. The other thing that we also provide is an opportunity for people to come business casual. And I really like for companies to wear their company shirts. Because as a small business, you got to figure out ways to stand out. And it's just amazing how many companies don't do that. So yeah, so there is a list of instructions. And inevitably, in every single session, there's always one or two people who never follow the instructions or they just somehow overlook them.
See, the gentleman that I'm referring to is one who missed 2 points.
Okay.
Not only
okay.
didn't have enough business cards, but was also wearing a tie. Didn't have on his the business casual company polo,
mm-hmm.
as was suggested, I guess. So he was relating this story as, you know, she's a stickler. She really wants you to follow instructions.
And simply because if you can follow those simple instructions,
mm-hmm.
then you should be able to compete for federal acquisitions by following the instructions that are listed in our request for proposals.
Sure.
You know, it's all about how successful for you as a company are you looking to become. And like I said, my instructions are pretty easy.
If you can't follow those, you got issues, people. Trust me. You're listening to Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, where my guest is the Director of Small Business Programs. Her name is Sharon Jones. Here on the campus of DISA is where we're sitting, in a room outside of security. Give me an idea of some success stories. You deal with a lot of small businesses on a regular basis. Do you have one that you're most proud of that maybe you played a role in?
You know, I want you to know that I gave that particular question strong thoughts and consideration.
Okay.
And I realize that there is no one story because, again, I'm going back to what I said earlier. This is Team DISA, and this is Team DISA at its best.
I want a Team DISA t-shirt. I don't mean to cut
yeah.
you off.
Actually, you know what? I'd like to probably have
yeah.
one, too.
See?
Okay.
You can have that one for free. How's that?
Exactly. Because one of the things that everyone makes a concerted effort here to include small business in all of our major acquisition. And I say that because that's exactly what, when you look at whether it's Encore 3 that's about to come out, again, that's going to have a small business suite. We're working with our Defense Spectrum Organization. They're putting together a requirement that I have a small business suite. So every effort is made from a DISA perspective to include small businesses in our action process. So there is no one story. It really is the agency being a strong advocate on behalf of small business. You know, we have the culture here is really at its foundation is very supportive of small business. But let me also be realistic here too for a moment by saying I'm very much aware that small businesses cannot do everything. Okay, and we're not expecting them to do everything. And so where small businesses are a good fit, we make opportunities. If small businesses are not a good fit, then there are not going to be any opportunities. I try very hard to ensure there is an equitable opportunity across the board for small businesses as well as large businesses to have a role here, because the large primes are just as anxious to keep work.
Sure, sure.
And keep contracts just as much as the small businesses are. So we try to do an equitable distribution across the board to the greatest extent that we can.
There are plenty of socioeconomic categories that companies can fall into that can check off a lot of boxes for an agency like yourself.
Correct.
One of which that can be difficult to meet numbers for would be HubZone.
All right. So some of the issues with HubZone firms is, I think you're right. Okay, let's go take it from the communications aspect.
Sure.
It's not so much HubZones don't communicate their HubZones. I think they don't tell the story about why they're a HubZone or what is a HubZone. I think there is a disconnect because HubZone is that, you know, I'm not going to say it's touchy-feely, but everyone can denote what's a regular small business. Everyone knows what you mean when you say woman-owned small business. Everyone has an idea when you say small disadvantaged business, what that means. Everyone understands when you say service-able veteran-owned small business. But when they say HubZone, all of a sudden, you really do sometimes get the deer in the headlight. Okay, what is that, and what does that mean to me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And companies should take the time to explain what it means to be a HubZone, why they're in the HubZone program, and how the HubZone program benefits their local communities, how they're bringing jobs to their local communities, and at the same time, they're bringing back to the government skill sets and opportunities the government may never have considered. So I think HubZones need to communicate their story mm-hmm. along with their capabilities. I think that goes a long way. And then I realize that the average life of a HubZone is 4 years. That's according to SBA statistics, because basically at that point they start to grow. And it's kind of hard to keep those percentages at 35% employee ratio as your company starts to expand. But the other piece, which is so difficult for HubZone, I think it is a problem federal-wide for HubZones to actually get engaged, is the fact that there's, like everyone else, it's all about competition, and it's about HubZones literally bringing their four or five HubZones that they work with who are in their same skill set, bringing them to the table by saying, hey, these are requirements that we know that we can do. We've seen you advertise these on FedBizOps. These are things that are in that we are in our bailiwick, and here we have I have my partners here with me, 5-6 companies, and we know that we can actually pursue this opportunity and be successful at it. They need to bring that competition to the table, but I would say in all categories you bring competition to the table. Gone are the days where you can really work with one company.
Right.
It's really about literally working with your competition, getting your competition to respond to sources sought or RFIs, because those go a long way in enabling opportunities to go into the small business programs, along with the fact that don't believe the rumors that you hear out there that once it's posted to FedBizOps, we don't have an opportunity. I think you have to look at each agency independently
right.
and understand how they run their small business programs. And I will tell you that the things that just post on FedBizOps are fair game for any company that has the capabilities that we're looking for.
I'm glad you said that, because you're right. That is a big rumor that runs mm-hmm. rampant throughout the community. If it's on FedBizOps, it's too late. Mm-hmm. And that's an opportunity for everyone. But mm-hmm. there are companies out there that feed on those who are mm-hmm. looking at government contracts mm-hmm. saying, if it's out on FedBizOps, it's too late. That is definitely not the case.
I completely agree with you. And it's a shame that new companies, as they start to get into the federal marketplace, they hear that. And it's been a very persistent and consistent rumor. And without looking at each agent independently, what I always tell people, if you see something out on FedBizOps, and let's say it's a source of sought, mm-hmm. and it's only out there for 5 days, I hate to tell you, it's really not about you, the small business. It's really about that individual who's posted. You don't know what they may have planned. They may be getting ready to go on leave, or they have several other procurements that they're trying to get through quickly based on the fact that they have other responsibilities, whether it's training, whether it's going off and doing jury duty. You just don't know. A simple phone call can make a difference to find out exactly what's going on with that requirement. Sometimes companies have called and said, hey, this seems really good. Is there any way you can extend the time? By calling and asking the contracting officer, if you feel you're not getting the response that you're looking for, then call the small business office. But I can only speak for DISA. We're pretty much proactive and willing to work with companies, and the majority of our requirement on FedBizOps are fully available opportunities for any company to compete at.
Right.
And it's amazing how many companies will not pick up the phone.
Right.
A lot of them prefer email, but I will tell you, sometimes you get a faster response by calling than you do by emailing, because you may be one of hundreds of emails in someone's inbox.
Right.
Right. So sometimes picking up the phone and calling can get you an answer a lot faster.
I much prefer picking up the phone and talking to somebody.
And that actually, and when you think about it, that's how you build rapport. That's how you build relationships, because sometimes those conversations can actually take a twist. I was talking to one lady, and she called me asking about a particular procurement, and I can't tell you how, next thing you know, we were talking about what it was like to be a vegetarian.
Wait, you're a vegetarian?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was an interesting dialogue, and she gave me this really phenomenal recipe that I ended up making. You know, so I'm just telling you that conversations can even without meeting people, you can have the most interesting of conversations. Yeah. I'll give another example that happened. One of the small businesses had a meeting with one of our program managers, and I didn't know about the meetings. I just want you to know that. And he had spoken to me before because I had given him the information, oh, this is who you talk to, and this is who you have a conversation with. And he was stuck outside the gate because for some reason, because of his driver's license, he was not able to come on post. So he just called me and said, hey, can you sign me in? And I was like, you have a meeting here? Yes. And I remember him because of the conversation that we had. So I went and signed him in. So my point is that just by having those conversations can go a long way in building a rapport with the folks in the small business.
Sharon Jones of DISA, right here on Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime, heard exclusively on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, and of course on demand anytime at federalnewsradio.com. How are you? I'm Alan Scott. Deborah Fine, the author of The Fine Art of Small Talk, was a guest on our program last year. If you're in the world of business development, you're probably already doing this. If not, you're going to want to pay attention. She explains why the fine art of small talk is so important in growing a business.
My guess is you have quite the audience of engineers because of the nature of who you serve with your programming.
Correct.
So I don't want to insult anybody out there, but most of us did not choose engineering because we liked to chat with people. So that was not my cup of tea. So it did not come naturally. I just assumed either, you know, you just were born with this or you just didn't have it. Right?
Just right.
How it is, right? Some people are good at math, some aren't. I happen to be great at math. Da da da. But other challenges in my life, and I'm just more isolated as far as not having friends, as far as building a community, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, to come from that vantage point where you don't know how to do it and you think you can't, and of course, to diminish small talk, which is one of my favorite occupations, was to say, what a waste of saliva. Who would want to learn small talk?
And that's the engineering background, and you saying, let's be more efficient.
Oh, of course. And that's also, of course, now to tell the truth, is that's the person who didn't know how to do it.
There you go.
It's like, you know, I one time in my life, as I describe in my book, not at length, but I used to be extremely heavy. Now I'm trim. I had to learn how to run. Running really helped take weight off for me, among other things, by the way. But I hated running 30 years ago when I lost over 70 pounds.
Congratulations.
And I hate running today. Okay, so, I still do it. So here's the deal. I hate it, but I do it. And each time I do it, it gets a little bit easier.
Right.
A little bit easier. So I'm not, you know, I used to think, well, I hate small talk. I hate chit-chat. I just want to have important conversations with people like Alan. I'm not here to just talk about the weather or the Broncos Super Bowl win. You know, I'm from Denver, Alan, so
yeah,
I had to get that in.
I kind of gathered that.
But, okay. Instead, it's because I didn't do it well, and I didn't. So it's so much easier to put down something that you can't do or won't do or whatever. And now what I believe is small talk is the appetizer for any relationship. It is either where the relationship starts. So let's just say I meet somebody, get to know them, and then it develops into a business friendship and or a social relationship or even romantic. Or it starts, let's say, with a negotiation or a presentation. Without the small talk, that business friendship will never be cultivated.
Right.
So small talk is an ingredient that builds those business relationships with people.
All too often, I see my phone ring, And I'll recognize the number and go, oh, what do they want? What do they want? But you know what? It's that small talk that I need to keep up with. I know that there's nothing on their agenda other than to say, hey, and maybe discuss something. They probably have some simple question. And it's a struggle sometimes for me to answer the phone and say, hey, how's it going? But I always do it. I know, just like you did with the running, you know that the results are going to be beneficial to you as long as you do this. And you keep that mindset, and that's something that you'll always be able to do.
And it doesn't mean you're going to love it.
No.
It can be a heck of an amount of work, right?
Right.
I mean, you said it best, Alan. You tell yourself you need to gain 10 new business cards, right?
Yep.
So that's what you've crafted for yourself.
Correct.
And I would say to anyone listening today, the reason Alan's strategy works so well is what he's done is he's assigned himself a task. And most anybody listening is great at tasks. Anyone that has succeeded in their profession and or academically, we're good at tasks. Anyone wearing clean clothes today that look good and sharp, well, I don't like to do laundry. I'm looking good right now. You know, that's a task, so I get those tasks done as well.
Probably wearing a Broncos jersey, but that's
a task, just like Alan. So what I do for me, as a matter of fact, one of the handiest things that I keep in my back pocket is I tell myself before I enter a networking event or an association luncheon or a reception before the award ceremony, any opportunity where I'm not sitting next to somebody on my right or my left, I tell myself, you will meet 2 new people, 5 new people. Alan's basically saying 10 new people. I find that to be overwhelming, Alan, but you're an overachiever. We all know that already. For the rest of us, especially those who aren't really comfortable in walking into networking situations, pick a low number, 1 or 2, and then tell yourself after you've met those 2 new people, you can go to the bar and hang out. Yeah. You can go to the lobby of the hotel and wait till dinner is served. You can leave and go home.
Right.
But just if you turn it into a task, it won't feel so overwhelming.
Yeah, now I'm thinking about it. 10 is a lofty goal, and
it wiped me out. But I thought, well,
you know,
he's younger than me.
I try to walk away with 10. I won't say that I always do it, but I try to get up there. And now that I'm thinking about it, I'm not giving myself an opportunity to develop that slight relationship with each person. I'm just moving along to the next, ending the conversation, saying, "Hey, we'll follow up," and then off to meet somebody else.
But if that works for you, Alan, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
If that works for you, you're in business development, you know what you're doing. For me, I'd rather have a 5 to 10 minute real conversation with someone so they're memorable to me, I'm memorable to them,
right,
and we can sort of get to know each other beyond what can you do for me today.
Understood.
I'm not saying you do that, I'm just saying that's what works for me.
No, yeah, I totally get it.
And a lot of people that are listening right now aren't necessarily in business relationship development. They just need to get to know those people that work for them, instead of sitting at their desk for every lunch and, you know, becoming a silo.
You touched on something that I wanted to talk about here. And by the way, my guest is Deborah Fine. She's the author of the book, The Fine Art of Small Talk. And you're listening to Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My name's Alan Scott. This is Ready to Prime from Columbia Technology Partners. And Deborah has got an amazing book here. And it's a quick read, too. And I've been able to, from the characters that you've listed in here, I've been able to pigeonhole every single one of my friends, family, relatives, the whole deal.
How about yourself?
And myself.
No,
I can see
you're
a little
not guilty of any faux pas, eh?
I can see myself in a bit of every one of these people.
Oh.
I totally can. There are times at which I morph. And that leads myself to another question. But let me get to the first one first.
Okay, sorry.
You talked about getting up, you know, and forcing yourself to do this, just like the running, and you need to get up and meet at least one more person, and getting to know people within your organization. At one point in your life, at least one, this may have been a detriment to you, where someone else picked up a promotion and you didn't, because you weren't that outgoing person that everybody knew. So explain a little bit.
Well, I think that, I mean, I'm convinced that when I was an engineer, I would sort of be over in the corner, and if you were my boss, Alan, or you came in from the home office,
right,
if you came over and said, Deborah, how's it going, or how's the project, I would, of course, respond to you, absolutely. But I would never go up to you and say, Mr. Scott or Alan or whatever I would refer to you as, I hope your trip was good, Deborah Fine, glad to see you again. That's not even an icebreaker, is it? That's
no.
Just a like, hey, I'm here, I'm actually alive, and I'm not hiding in the ladies' room, because that is what I used to do, too, is hide in the women's room. Of course, there weren't a lot of women there in those days, so that worked out great for me. But the point is that if you become invisible because you're the person who's sort of just standing over there waiting for people to come up and say hello to you, I don't expect anyone to change their personality. I mean, why? We're not obligated to do that. We should be authentic. However, we become invisible if we're not the first to say hello, if we're not the first to say, you know, how's the project going for you? If we're the person sitting at our lunch every day, you know, there's a quote I use in my programs I'll remember in a second, but the quote is, a desk is a dangerous place to view the world. Now I would say a device is a dangerous place to view the world, because we sit there in front of our computers and we're so busy that we can't possibly get up and visit with our staff, or maybe go down the hall and say hello to somebody in R&D when we're in quality, or somebody in purchasing. We always email them now. And yet that face-to-face interaction, even for a couple minutes, can be magical and can build that relationship so that they will be the first to serve you and help you in your time of need. Let's say IT and your computer went down. Guess what? If all you're doing is calling and saying, my computer's down, you don't use their name in conversation, you don't ask them how their weekend was and really mean it, then you don't get to build those kinds of relationships within the organization either.
Right. That's a good point.
With your customers, you know, who you serve, whether internally or externally.
That's a very good point. I in every place I've ever been employed, I always make it a point to get to know everyone, because not only is it the right thing to do, you're working with these people, but you never know how you may be able to help them, and in turn, they may be able to help you grease the wheel. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I think your attitude, however, not only is it wonderful, but I think most of us share a wonderful attitude, but a lot of times we don't practice it, because it can be overwhelming to, let's say I'm a manager in an agency, and then they bring on board two new people, and I've just had a really busy couple of weeks with projects and all that, and I see them going down the hall, and I say, hi, but I just never stop, shake their hand, introduce myself, and take a few minutes to say, tell me a little bit about yourself. You know, I'd like to know you better. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't turn it into a task, and then all of a sudden now it's 4 months later, and now it's too awkward to do it.
There you have it, Deborah Fine, author of The Fine Art of Small Talk, giving you some tips on how to open up your little shell and become a good business development person by speaking to and following up with potential partners. Columbia Technology Partners is a service-disabled veteran, woman-owned small business based in Columbia, Maryland, doing systems integration, security, and of course, program management all over the Intel community. And we're always looking for partners. You can contact me directly, Alan Scott, at 410-290-3280, and I'll give you all the details. Let's chat. You know, do some of that business development talking. In the meantime, I'll keep developing cool content to bring to you right here on Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime. Heard exclusively on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and, of course, on demand anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.